Matthew chapter 6. Let's look with me, if you will, in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord's word of prayer. And Lord, we come to you this evening, Father, just lifting up thy precious and holy name. And Lord, we do thank you for the day that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity and privilege you've given us to come and to assemble together one with another, to come into your house, to be able to sing songs to thy name and to be able to hear your word read and proclaimed here tonight. We thank you for that. We thank you for the blessings of these things and of the blessings of your word that we have freely to open up and to read and to learn from. We just pray, Father, tonight that you would be with us as we try to preach this message, that you would use us as a mouthpiece, that you would just give us the words in our mouth that we need to say that would be, first of all, glorified honor to you. And Father, and the words that would be a help and a blessing to everyone here. And Father, if there be here tonight any that's lost and undone, does not know you in the free pardon of sin, that you might take something in either one of these messages tonight and apply it to the hearts and lives of those who are lost, that you might show them their great need of salvation and save them even tonight, Lord, if it be thy will. We pray that you'd help us, help this world, help this country, turn the people's hearts back to you, Father. We pray that you'd help us and watch over us. Forgive us for our sins and shortcomings. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our thought this evening comes from verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. We believe that this passage of Scripture does not talk only about our food, but I believe primarily it speaks of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the bread of life, and we are to feast upon Jesus Christ daily. But it also, to me, speaks here of our needs, right? Our needs. We understand we have many needs. As the brother preached tonight, I have need of patience. I have need of many things. We have necessities. The Bible here in verse 25 says, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than raiment? In verse 32, it says, For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. What I'm getting at tonight is there's necessities in life we need. Food and drink and raiment. These are necessities. Everything else we think is a necessity is a want. We have necessities. We have needs. We pray about our needs and our necessities and what we have need of. And you know, here the Lord, we find that we are instructed to pray to God, to our Father which art in heaven, for our necessities, our needs. And yet, do we not find oftentimes that we do not pray about our necessities, we trust in ourselves? Now, I understand that the Lord gives us abilities. The Lord gives us strength, health and strength. He gives us abilities to go work, and we should work if we can. Especially the men of the house should go work and provide for their own. But yet, we should not allow that to take away our trust in the Lord for our necessities, for the things that we need. Philippians chapter 4, if you go there with me. Philippians Philippians chapter 4, we notice here in verse, start reading in verse 15. He says here, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again into my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of, I'm going to butcher this, sorry, Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor and a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And notice what he says in verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Here Paul, he commends the church for sending once and again to his necessities. But then we understand from this, what he is saying here also is, he says, "I know that God will supply all your necessities." You know, the Lord does not like a stingy person. The Lord likes a cheerful giver, amen? And we cannot outgive God. And the Lord will supply our necessities, all our needs in this life. We've got to trust in the Lord for this here. And I make a point of this because we are coming to a place in our life that we're going to have to, which we should be doing already, but we're going to have to start trusting the Lord more than we are. We're going to have to start putting our trust in the Lord when the world is getting so bad. And listen, I've heard this my whole life, but I believe it's as close now as I have ever seen it, where we will be persecuted for what we preach from the pulpit. If we were in some other parts of the country and not in the wonderful God's country of Kentucky, if we were in California or maybe Chicago or something like that, we may already be persecuted. But it's coming here to us and to our pulpit. And how are we going to handle that? Well, we've got to trust the Lord in all things. The Lord will supply all our needs. Paul suffered a lot of things. I thought about this when the brother was preaching the message. Paul said, "I've suffered shipwreck. I've suffered among perils of robbers and nakedness and hunger and all this." And doesn't it really stand out to you? If you're like me, it stands out to you the very last thing that he mentioned. Upon all these things, the cares of the church is daily. Now listen here, church. You have a pastor that cares for you. You better love him, because it's a burden on his heart. A good burden, but a burden. It's a care daily upon the hearts. Supply your pastor's necessities and needs, and the Lord will bless you for it. You don't have to turn here, because I know every one of us here know this passage of Scripture, Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." Notice what does it say? "I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord supplies our needs. The Lord supplies everything for us. The Lord blesses us and will never forsake us. He loves us and will never forsake us. Do you understand tonight that the very breath that you're breathing is given to you by God? The heart beating in your chest, every beat of it is given to you by God. Everything about you, God has given to you. We stand here tonight by grace, do we not? God supplies all of our needs. He says here to pray and to seek the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not that God has to wait on us to give it, but it is our dependency upon God that we understand that we need to look to God for all our needs in this life. The next step that we take, and listen, every one of us here this evening, if you were a second earlier or a second later, could have been dead. And God worked that all out. You don't even know about it. God, in His provision, God in His blessings, has blessed you today and tonight and will bless you tomorrow. So look to God in His blessings. Psalms chapter 37. I want to read this passage to you. Psalms chapter 37. Verse 23. Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. The Bible says here, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. How many times you fell in your Christian life? It's not talking about falling from grace. Well, I'm glad tonight that the Lord upheld me. Amen. Psalms, I believe it is 73. The psalmist, you don't have to turn there, but the psalmist said, and I may be wrong on my psalm there, but the psalmist said, I looked out all over the people, and he said, I was jealous over them. And he said, this is what his words, my feet were almost gone until I went into the house of the Lord. You know what he said there? He said, I looked at the world and I was jealous over them. He said, I seen all their riches and I seen all their prosperity and I seen that they didn't have no troubles in death and so forth and so on. He goes through there. And this is how I like to look at it. He said, until I went to church. You see how important it is to go to church? When we start missing church, then we start getting in despair. And the more we miss church, the more we look out at the world and the more we want to miss church. But the psalmist said, then I went to church and I realized this. Just like that, they go to the grave. Just like that, they go down. Then, he said, then I understood their end. Then I understood their end. But David here in the psalm, he said, I've been young and I've been old. He said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen the righteous forsaken myself. I've seen the righteous forsake God, but I've never seen God forsake the righteous. And he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He's merciful, amen. The Lord supplies all our needs. He will always be there for all your needs as long as we have breath in our bodies and even past that. He will always be here. He will never forsake us. When we fall, we need to get up. We need to repent. We need to turn back to God and go back to Him. We need to, when we sin, we need to repent. Amen. We need to press on, press forward, because we have such a merciful God. Amen. We have such a great God that supplies for us everything in our life that we need. Press on. Don't give up. Then I think about this. The prayer, as the Lord says, after this matter, pray you. He says, give us this day. You know, he's saying this. He said, if you ask, I will give. You know, we serve a God that gives. Amen. He gives more than we can understand. Amen. And secondly, tonight, this passage of Scripture, and I like how that Luke says it, give us day by day our daily bread. You know, to me, this speaks here of our worries. Of our worries. You worry any? I don't know about you, but I worry way too much. But it speaks to me of the worries of life. We can't worry about tomorrow. And yesterday is gone. To me, the Lord says something like this. live in today. For you may not have tomorrow. Why would I pray for bread for tomorrow when I may not even be here? So he says, give us this day our daily bread. You know what prayer is? It's a daily thing, is it not? And don't get me wrong, it shouldn't just be once a day. It should be, as I believe it's Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. But to me, it speaks of our worries. We want to worry. And I don't know why we want to. Just because of the depraved nature that we live with, I guess. Because I've never found myself saying, I wish I could worry more, right? I have many times said, I wish I could worry less. But I've never wished I could worry more. But I find myself instantaneously, instinctively worrying about something about tomorrow. About tomorrow. Worrying, have you ever worried about something that you think might happen? Why would you worry about something that might happen? We often fancy ourselves as fortune tellers. We know what's going to happen down the road, right? So we're going to worry about it. We invent things to worry about. And these things that we worry about that could happen may not ever happen. You ever worry about something that's coming up in your life and you worry yourself sick about it, but then when it happens, it really wasn't that bad? How many times have you done that? How many times have I done that? Why can't I learn? Why can't I learn? I'm a depraved individual. I live in a nature that is depraved. Verse 34, the Lord says this in our text in Matthew chapter 6, take no thought, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for tomorrow. You know what the word thought there means? It doesn't literally mean to think about it. I believe we are actually instructed to make plans. We're instructed to maybe even lay in store. But the word thought here is speaking of anxiety. It's speaking of worrying. He says, the Lord says here, and the Lord doesn't just say it here, He says it multiple times in this chapter. He uses this word thought. It's the same word we find in the book of Philippians, where it's the word careful. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. It's the same word. And he says, take no thought for tomorrow. Be not worried about tomorrow. Why is the Lord telling us to not worry about tomorrow? Because in the hand of God, He's already taken care of it. Do you understand this tonight? And this is something I have to remind myself of, and I want to learn this more and more. That God has already taken care of everything. I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about in 100 years from now, if 100 years from now comes. God's already taken care of it. He's already set it in motion. Let me use this feeble expression. In the eyes of God, it's already done. God sets in time, in eternity. And like the preacher said, I like the way he said it. Yesterday is now with God. Tomorrow is now with God. And now is now with God. He sets in eternity. He doesn't set in time like me and you do. He give us time. He give me time, and He give you time. He give us seasons and months and years and minutes and hours and days. But God is not subject to any of those things. When considering tomorrow, what does our brother James say in the book of James? He said, some will say, well, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to live a year, and I'm going to do all this stuff. And he says, you don't even know what's on tomorrow. But he says, this is what you ought to say. And I've always been impressed upon me that word ought means It's not a choice. Rather, I like looking at it like this. You owe it to God. You ought to say, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. Because, listen, God's already done it. And if it's the Lord's will, tomorrow I will get up. But if it's not, I won't. And whatever the Lord's will is, it's perfect. For my life and for your life. Whatever that may be. And again, over and over in this chapter, verse 25, verse 27, verse 28, verse 31, verse 34, he uses that word thought, worrying. Listen, the Lord is telling you and I tonight, he's trying to help us here. Don't worry, I've got it. I'm in control of whatever's going to happen. Therefore, we can read in the book of Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good. Whatever it is, it's good. I have to remind myself of that. It's okay. It's okay. It's good. It's going to work to my good in some way or another. So don't worry about things that you can't change. You know, the Bible says, here, even in this passage of Scripture, you cannot add one cubit to your stature. Worrying, he says there, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? What, by worrying, can you add one cubit to your stature? The Bible says this, you cannot make one hair on your head black or white. And it says the Lord knows even the number of hairs on your head. I'm just telling you tonight, the Lord's saying, don't worry about it. I'm in control. I'm in control. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Is those very easy words to say? Sure are. How easy is it to implement? It feels like impossible to me sometimes. But, you know, then questions come up like this. Does worrying put food on the table? Or does it cause you physical stress, physical hurt in your life? Does worrying put clothes on your back or anything like this? Does it put drink, water in your cup? Right? It doesn't. It just adds to the problem. If you have a problem, it just adds to the problem. Trusting in the Lord. Our text tells us to take one day at a time. One day at a time. A quote when I was putting this message together, I run across this quote and I liked it. So I'll share it with you tonight. Do not increase the cares of today by borrowing troubles from the future. So that's what we do, is it? We increase problems today by borrowing troubles in the future. When we can't even see the next second that happens, the Lord knows everything. So it speaks to me of our worries. This passage of Scripture makes me think of the children of Israel living in the wilderness for 40 years. They had a commandment. Go out every day and get one day's supply of food. Except for the sixth day. And every day, the children of Israel would go out. If they was going to do it, they were going to go out and they'd get that manna. Whatever they could eat for one day. And then when the sun rose up, they seen it disappear. You know what they did? Every day they lived by faith. That the next morning, God would rain bread from heaven. Listen, we still serve the same God. And if God wants to, He can literally rain bread from heaven. And if we will see it with our spiritual eyes, we need to understand God does rain bread from heaven every day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The children of Israel lived in the wilderness day by day by day. They murmured and complained. They even murmured and complained about the bread. They said, our soul loatheth this light bread. And murmured against God's blessings. God brought water from a rock in the desert. He brought quail in. That rock followed them wherever they went. I mean, we're talking about watering a multitude of people, bringing bread down for, you know, million plus people at least. And not only for them, but for their cattle, for everything. The Bible says 40 years. The clothes did not waste off their back, nor the shoes on their feet. And I tell you what, that's pretty good, isn't it? Any of you here got clothes you're still wearing after 40 years? God preserved them. God preserved them. And God just shows us there. Don't worry about tomorrow. Children of Israel wonder how long it took them before they quit worrying about their clothes wearing out. They don't wear out. What a blessing. Then to me, and this is our greatest point in this, I guess, is our spiritual renewal. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, if you're like I am, every day you need Jesus. Now, I know that's kind of a weird statement because I'm saved and I always got Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit of God living within me. But every day, I need to talk with the Lord. Every day, I need the Lord to talk to me. Every day, I need to listen to Him and to feast upon Him. In John chapter 6, we want to read these passages of Scripture just so I don't mess them up. A very familiar verses of Scripture to us in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 35. He says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Now, if I want to skip down, if you will, with me to verse 53. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, I realize this is speaking of salvation. But I also realize that every day I need to feast upon the Lord. And I realize just like when the Lord fed the 5,000, and he took those few loaves of bread and he fed 5,000 people, and then he took up more than what he had to begin with. You see, the Lord can never be expended, right? We can never come to the end of the Lord. So every day we need a feast upon God. And to me, this speaks to me of our renewing, if you will, our revival, even in a sense, to us. That we need the Lord every day. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you will, look with me there. In verse 14, it says, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." This outward man is perishing. And it's just doing what it needs to do. It's going back to the ground. This outward man is perishing. It's not getting any better. I mean, it's getting older. It's getting tired. It's hurting more. It's losing more hair. There is some left to lose. And yet, the inward man is renewed day by day. And yet, I'm not completely without hope in the old outward man, because I know one of these days the Lord's going to return. He's going to give me a glorified body. But while I'm here in this home, in this tabernacle, living in this place, this old outward man, although he is perishing, I'm not without hope. This outward man is perishing, yet my inward man is being renewed day by day. How does that happen? Then let us feast upon Jesus Christ. Let us seek the Lord in prayer, in study, in preaching, going to church, fellowship, whatever the case may be. Let us seek the Lord that our inward man will be renewed. It is renewed. It's going to be renewed day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. If you will, go with me to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Look with me in verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Isn't it wonderful here to see that he says the Lord's mercies, it is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. Well, I'm glad the Lord is compassionate towards me, even though I am who I am. Because I'm not worthy of it. I'm not worthy of the Lord's mercies. I'm not worthy of His grace. I'm not worthy of His compassions. But His compassions fail not. He says, they are new every morning. You see that in your life? They're new every morning. The mercies of the Lord, the compassions of the Lord, the grace of God. He says, they're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Our Lord is faithful when we're unfaithful. He's faithful. When we're not worthy of mercy, He's merciful. When we're uncompassionate, He's compassionate. He loves us. He loves us. And I pray tonight, if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you would hear this, not me, but you would hear the message. God is faithful. And you need the Lord. You need the Lord. The Lord is the only way you make it through this life. The Lord is your hope. That you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're lost and undone here tonight, you need the Lord. Jesus Christ came down into this old world, robed in flesh, and died for your sins, that you might be saved. Paid the penalty for our sins. Give His life. Suffered immensely. Come into this world to do nothing but to die for us. To live all, to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all the law. To fulfill all the things that the prophet said. So that by faith in Him, we can be saved. Not by works that we can do, but by faith in Him. And if we can put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will impute all that righteousness unto us. And when we stand before God one day, He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Listen, I want you to know tonight the mercies of the Lord. And I want you to know that the compassions of the Lord that fail not for me, I want you to know the same thing. I want you to be able to say with me, "Great is His faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness." Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Our needs. Take care of our worries. And let me learn more of You. Let me learn more of Your faithfulness, of Your mercies, of Your compassions. Let me learn more of Your love for me. You know, I know the Lord loves me. I have no doubt of that at all. But I still hadn't learned it all. I don't know why that He loved me so much that He would die for me. But I know He did. I don't have that kind of love in a sense. But in another sense, I do. Because behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You know, we have, if you're saved, you have the love of God in you. And it's there. It's the very first fruit of the Spirit, is it not? But yet I'm still learning about it. I'm still learning about it. I'm still growing in the Lord, and I hope I never stop. I believe we will learn about the Lord throughout all eternity.
Amen.
You have trouble tonight with worrying? Yeah, me too. Well, pray about it. Seek the Lord. Let your requests, your prayers and your requests and your supplications, let them be known to God. And then trust that He's going to take care of them. You see, here's a bad problem that I have. And it's called doubt. Doubt goes something like this. So I'm going to pray about it, but it probably ain't going to happen. Don't do that, because it won't happen. The Lord said, if you ask anything of me believing, you should receive it. You have worries, you have problems, you have troubles, you have whatever it is in your life, pray about it. Ask the Lord to help you, and He will. He gives. He gives. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the message. I pray it's been a blessing unto you.